Here at the Congress for Automotive Repair and Service, or CARS, in New Orleans, I am with a couple of folks from Ricardo Incorporated, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves. They've been with us here with the Renewable Fuels Association and Bobby Likas. First, Chris, you.
Hello, I'm Chris Talwar. I've been with Ricardo 34 years. Half of those was as a technical guy designing cranks and conrods and particularly valve trains, looking at the resonances that occur in those systems as you push them harder to try and get more performance out of engines, as you get failures and you have to find new solutions, as you try to reduce friction and improve fuel economy. And for the last 15 years, well, actually 20 years now, I've been in North America growing the business base that we have here at the demand of the local automakers. They want us to help them provide solutions for the future, help be more integrated with their product development teams. And Ricardo is a company which is 100 years old, has been there as a turn-on, turn-off systems integration resource to these automakers as they find new solutions. And that probably is a good segue to Matty, because some of the products that we're working on are to have solutions for 2025 and the ever-aggressive fuel economy standards that are coming down the pipe, and how they can be made affordable and therefore get real traction in the real world.
That's good. That's good, because that explains a little bit about Ricardo's background and what you're doing here at the CARS event. And Dr. Matty, you're next.
Well, I'm an Australian on walkabout at the moment. I'm in Michigan, but I started in Australia, and I went through Ford Australia, Ford US, and Visteon for a while, and now I'm working currently at Ricardo. I've been for about 5 years, and I'm the chief engineer there for powertrain controls. I've got a powertrain controls background that goes back, I guess, 25, 30 years now. Also do a lot of work on hybrid vehicles, so looking at a lot of different ways of improving fuel economy. I mean, improving engine performance is one area, but there's also electrification, which is an important part for Ricardo as well.
You gave a presentation here of our Mythbusters as far as for ethanol is concerned, and some of the work that you all done. You talked about a couple of specific benefits of ethanol that, when you optimize them, really can help performance in vehicles and engines for vehicles.
Well, in terms of the properties, it's the high-octane property that allows you to actually get more power out of an engine. So you essentially have higher cylinder pressures. Now, we're pushing engines now up to about 35 bar BMEP, which is brake mean effective pressure, which is really just like a normalized torque value. It's the pressure acting on the piston. So it's a way of comparing one engine to another engine. You don't care about the size of the vehicles, how many pistons there are. So it's like a normalizing factor. So we are running much higher cylinder pressures, and it's made possible by the high octane property. Also, the cooling effects of the ethanol when it's injected. Then once the fuel mixture is ignited, the actual ethanol runs cooler too. It burns faster and it burns cooler. And that's quite important, because as you push up the power from or torque from these engines, they tend to get hotter and hotter exhaust temperatures, which means more expensive turbo systems. You need 1050 type exhaust systems, and your valves, exhaust valves, you have to go for sodium-filled exhaust valves. If you're running straight gasoline with ethanol, because it's cooler, you can avoid all those sorts
this
of problems.
100 degrees cooler. We're talking a significant number here.
To me, I think, to the point that you asked earlier, there's the less energy density of the fuel, but there's these beneficial aspects of ethanol. And so there's a sweet spot. There's a sweet spot here where you can actually get better fuel economy, improved fuel engine performance, with a certain level of downsizing, but you don't want to go too far.
Well, at the same time, one of the whole issues that the automotive industry is facing is the federal regulations that are coming into play here, that are going to mean that they've got to produce cars that get much higher miles per gallon than they currently do. And that's where you guys come in, right? And as consultants, I guess, for the automotive industry.
Engineering partners rather than consultants. You know, we do practical work, and we're really we'd like to be co-located product team, really. You know, we're focused on the product rather than the remote, let's do a study for you. You know, let's focus on the product, and let's as a systems integrator, because it's not just one silver bullet you're going to find here. It's a number of things coming together. And so that's how Ricardo operates.
Well, now, as you put it, what we're going to be looking for here is engines that have a thirst for octane, right?
That's correct. But I'm just going to get back to your previous about using the higher octane to get better fuel efficiency. Yes, that's possible with real-world driving. However, the way the regulations are currently, the OEMs are still required to test with their standard fuel, which is Endoline, right? So that doesn't have the high octane properties. So when they're testing these their engines, they're being measured against that baseline fuel, which is Endoline. Now, as we presented in our presentation, we showed that we got good savings with both E0 as well as E85. So we designed engines to be flex fuel capable. Now, to do that, we needed a lot of EGR when you're running on E0, and then when the flex fuel is available, we didn't need to use as much EGR because it burnt cooler.
EGR is exhaust gas recirculation.
EBDI engine, I mean, the whole program was a number of companies got involved together where Ricardo was the lead. We had people like Honeywell involved and some other companies that provide pistons. And it was a research demonstrator vehicle. Now, because Ricardo actually developed the high-feature V6 engine for General Motors, we were very familiar with that particular engine. In fact, General Motors was actually a partner in the early days of the development in going through this. So because we're familiar with that engine, we could modify that engine. Now, it wasn't simply just using ethanol, E85, it required a lot of the changes. It's more of a systems approach. So we had to use this long route EGR, which Chris explained was the exhaust gas recirculation. We used variable cam phasing for the intake and exhaust on the system. We used a series sequential turbocharger system. And then we actually ran lots of tests on the engine dynamometer. We varied compression ratios of the head, and we went through an optimization program, or what we call a design of experiments, where we'd sweep all the different variables like spark angle, injection timing angle, amount of EGR, and then we found the optimum operating points for all these variables for each given load and speed. And we actually increased the sweet spot area of an existing engine, so it covered a much larger area.
So the net result is we've got the equivalent performance of a 6.7 to 7 litre diesel engine that is in the Sierra truck for General Motors with a 3.2 litre gasoline engine. So the implications are that you are now getting a much smaller engine package. You're saving yourself the after-treatment costs of that you need with the diesel, and yet you're losing nothing in performance. In fact, you're gaining some, and you're also gaining fuel economy. So there are many lessons here that are being learnt in different subsystems that have been explored, and some of those we're starting to see on the road today. You know, you see Ford adopting this strategy in downsizing in their EcoBoost strategy. They're selling significant numbers of V6 gasoline direct injection engines in their F-150 trucks compared to their V8s. And this will continue. People are going from V8s to V6s, V6s to V4s, and even beyond to three-cylinder engines. And those are the kind of programs Ricardo does for OEs around the world, looking to achieve these aggressive fuel economy standards that are coming up, and to do it quickly.
Now, you've got this engine, you've developed this engine, you've shown that it's worked. Where do you go from here?
Well, for us, we'd like to finish off this research work. Actually, we did this work 2 or 3 years ago, and we stopped doing it because we hit the downturn in the economy. But we have moved on, and we are doing other projects. Now, that's not to say we're ignoring things like clean diesel and, more aggressive strategies there. That's not to say we're ignoring hybridization, because we're also looking at electrification programs. So ultimately, we see the gasoline engine being a big part of the mix for the future, possibly 75-80% of future powertrain products. But we do realize that people will have a portfolio of products with other fueling options in them, with other combustion system options. And so Ricardo, is looking at those things as well.
We obviously are talking to the major OEMs in this, like the passenger vehicle market, but we're also looking to other markets such as off-road. Now, that market doesn't have the same CAFE requirements, but they're now facing new emission requirements with this high expensive after-treatment systems. And we've proven with EBDI that this engine can operate like a diesel. Now, it's not going to replace all the diesels out there, but there's certain niche areas where we could use this particular engine and technology as a more cost-effective solution.
That's what you mean by scalable when you talk about it?
Yes. Yeah, well, scalable in terms of size. I mean, the same technology could be applied to, say, a, like a tourist-sized vehicle, right, with a downsized engine, say 1.4 litre instead of a 3.2 litre. So it's scalable in terms of the size of vehicle you want to put it in, but it's also scalable in terms of what market you want to go into, whether it's agricultural or the light or duty or even some heavy duty applications for trucks, as well as the passenger vehicle market.
Chris, what did you think about being here at the CARS event?
It was a good experience. It's always good to be amongst different groups of people because it freshens the debate where good professionals come together and share ideas and find solutions. I mean, we're all stakeholders in this. You know.
It was really interesting. And how do you like being a part of this the team that you had here with you and RFA and Bobby Lekas?
Well, that's interesting because if you look at it, we've only known each other very briefly, but it feels like we've known each other forever, you know? And isn't that a good way to be when you can talk and communicate and work with people? I mean, teams achieve great things together, don't they? You know.
And it was great meeting both of you. I know you got to run, and I hope to see you again down the road. Here at the CARS event in New Orleans, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.